My daughter is even now dead. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On this All Saints Sunday, I'm remembering fondly the wonderful procession we had with the little ones just a week ago, accompanying Christ the King. Indeed, they are his victory in our midst. But the last year or so, it seems to me, I don't know what you think, but it seems to me that all of a sudden, so many of our little saints of previous years have retired their costumes because they think that they're just too old. But children, I want to tell you this, don't be in any hurry. Better to stay in costume and to live still in a world of make-believe than to rush to dressing up or dressing down like the grown-ups do, who sometimes aren't so grown-up after all. Children, your innocence is one of your best qualities. Keep it, cherish it, dress it, live it. And parents, remember that although come adolescent, it seems that innocence and experience must do battle on the field of life, and usually innocence is defeated, still it is worth fighting for. Innocence, it comes from the Latin innocens, not harming. Not harming whom? Why, oneself or another. They used to say that about the doctors, the Hippocratic Oath, before abortion became the sacrament of secular society. Primum non nocere. First of all, do no harm. The beautiful ideal of Catholic youth and schooling and family life. To be harmless and yet unharmed. What a world this would be. But the day will come, of course, when your children will outgrow their costumes, but they must never forget that regardless of costume or the uniform they end up donning each day as adults, that they must first of all put on that Christ whom they received on the day of their baptism, the bright garment of sanctifying grace. It's not a Sunday costume like a woman wearing a dress just once a week for Mass. It is the everyday Christ of conviction and of conscience worn on the inside as well as on the out. But what to do? What to do when they do grow up and leave the faith behind like a First Communion dress that doesn't fit anymore? When they've outgrown all of that without ever growing up? What to do when they lose their innocence and do harm to self and to others? And this all in the name, if you could ever get them to sit down and talk about it, of happiness, I suppose. Did you ever hear the story? Father Cicada just told me this for the first time this past week. The story of a young monk who leaves the monastery, and one of his classmates in the novitiate, coming across an older brother, an experienced monk, says to him, "Did you know that Brother Benedict has left?" "Oh, why did he leave?" Then there's a pause, and he says, well, brother, he wasn't happy. And then the brother says, "Who's happy?" That was his reply. You're not necessarily meant to be happy in this life, but you are meant to be joyful. Sadness, says one of the first fathers of the church, Hermas, Sadness is the brother of doubt and of anger, and the worst of the devils. It delivers a man to perdition and casts the Holy Ghost out more easily than any other devil. My topic today is how to deal with adult children who have, it seems, outgrown their faith. We should pray for them, and we should all of us pray a whole lot more than we do. But what else? Well, cheerfulness. First of all, then, a cheerful person feels good. He does good. Sadness, the saints again, grieves the spirit, and it drives him out, whereas we want to get him to return to his confirmed child. It's like all of those mourners making a rout in the room of the girl who had died. Secondly, continuing to look at today's gospel, and I'm forcing myself just to stick with C's in order to limit myself this morning. Secondly, and not contradictorily, comes crying. Now, our Lord had no use for all of that, those professional and paid-for tears in the gospel, but crying can be a mark of sincerity, says Chrysostom. But quietly and on the inside, not crying as emotional release that's worthless, nor guilt-inducing tears, attention-grabbing that's cheap, but to weep, St. John Chrysostom says, to weep for sinners, but with the calm tears of the Spirit on the inside. Did you ever hear the story? I think it's St. Alphonsus. He was hearing confessions, maybe it was Easter or Christmas, and he had what they used to call a big fish in the confessional, a man who hadn't been for years and lots of serious sins. And he was very organized, this man was, and he was going through in a rather business-like fashion, in a perfunctory way, rattling off all of his sins, and it seemed, as he was doing so, that he heard the priest, the saint, on the other side of the screen start to sniffle. Then he thought he heard a tear. And then he heard positive sobbing. And so he stopped his recitation and he said, "Father, are you all right? Are you crying?" "I'm weeping, my son, because you will not." This is contrition. Third comes compassion. Compassion led Christ to heal that woman. She wasn't on the schedule, but she meets our Lord and she begs for a miracle right there in the street with her issue of blood. Compassion led Christ to follow Jairus back home and to raise his daughter from the dead. What about your daughter? Compassion comes from the Latin cum and then passio, to suffer with. In the old translation we have, suffer the little children to come unto me. In other words, let them, bear with them, allow them. And even out of love, from the words meaning in the Latin, the etymology, compassio, suffer with your children. Suffer with them. Fourth comes confidence. Confide, filia, Christ says to the woman who asks for her miracle there in the street. Literally, with faith, the old translation says, be of good heart. And that's great, but our Lord is saying, be with faith, daughter, be with trust. Confidence, says St. Thomas Aquinas, is a condition of hope. It makes us certain of the help that we're asking for. And besides, like cheerfulness, we all need confidence today. Just because everybody's walking around deceived by deceit, the inconstancy of human values. Listen to the election ads. Who could help not hear them? And remember the world of politics. People wonder if Christ could help. They laugh at him in the room of the dead daughter. They're weeping and wailing. They've moved on already. It must be too late. Confidence. You must trust. Never despair of the conversion of a sinner. You got converted, didn't you? Any more than you would insist on knowing the timetable of that sinner's conversion. This too is part of confidence, trusting God's goodness. The final C is conversation. Our Lord is all the time talking to people in the Holy Gospel, not just preaching or telling parable, but he's talking to them. He is, as we read in Luke, for the fifth joyful mystery, the finding in the temple, he is listening to them, and he's asking them questions. Try that with your adult children. Just ask, and then wait for it. Listen for a response. Don't cut them off. Don't answer for them, but listen for the response. And let your questions be gentle, but probing is okay. Asking questions is not only an excellent way to jumpstart a conversation when there's an uncomfortable silence in the room, but also to jumpstart a conversion. How? It gets the brain going. Reason, memory, will. These are your allies in your efforts. You see, most of them never thought it through. Not really. They just outgrew it, maybe. Childhood catechism. Maybe it was away at college or enrolled in one of those fancy Novus Ordo high schools where you pay them to destroy your child's faith. Or maybe a public school did it for free, your tax dollars at work. Or maybe it was just the world and their friends and their place of employment. Faith, for them, a dimming memory, just feelings and nothing more. And that's why, without them even feeling the pinprick of conscience, a quiet question. And unlike the presidential debates, you're entitled to a follow-up, too, can help. Parents, never despair. You be the one to go for Jesus and walk him back home with you. Lead him to that child who seems dead to you and to all you hold dear. Go on, ask cheerfully, but in tears, with a heart of compassion, shored up with confidence, contrition for sin, and be prepared to listen. Be prepared for an answer from them, yes, but from our Lord as well. And probably just when you least expect, The girl is not dead, but sleepeth. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.